Hello, happy site owners and webmasters. Welcome to the Blog 8 Tips Tuesday podcast for August 4th, 2020. And I'm your host, Mayanna. Tips this week include updates to the DIY SEO course, why I'm bringing in webmasters to help with client site work, the first release candidate for WordPress 5.5 is out, and what that means for you and what I'm looking into. What's with the PHP upgrade notification you may be getting in your WordPress dashboard? The new Gutenberg Ninja tutorials in the works? Why Google updated its GDPR policies? My ongoing research into first and third party cookie tracking and why I spoke with a lawyer? Why I like the new Bing URL inspection tool better than Google's? Whether or not you should optimize your content for questions? How the relationship between Google search and content creators has changed, the future of affiliate marketing, a beginner's guide to writing better headlines, and a big change to Unsplash's image use license agreement. So let's dive in. I hope you'll join me for tonight's live stream at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Blog 8 Facebook page. It's a great way to get the deeper story on what's reported in Tips Tuesday, and I almost always have breaking news for the day too. So come join us for the live party. And a note about who I help. All tips, advice, and suggestions in this and all Blog 8 posts and tutorials are intended to empower DIY site owners who are not on hosting that is restrictive in what you can and can't do with your site and hosting setup. Now, if you have any doubts about what type of host you're on and if the tips I give will work there, go see my post on what is managed hosting. In Blog 8 happenings, it's the first week of August, y'all. And I know for many of you, that means getting super busy with all of your holiday posts and such. For me, it's like back to school time with all of the new tutorials and such I've been creating for you. Now in the DIY SEO course, all of the Yoast SEO tutorials have been updated. Now for existing members, these were minor changes that you've been keeping up with as Yoast change. So no need to revisit the tutorials, but for new folks, everything in the tutorials now matches what you're seeing. And I'm now working on updates for tutorials in Google Connections and Google Search Console sections. And I'll be releasing those in batches, so members should look for an email when those come out with details on which ones you might want to revisit. Now, my wait list for site audits and other site services is going well into September at this point. So I've brought in a couple of my longtime webmaster training peeps to help so I don't run into October and can get more projects through. Many of my clients are combining migrating to new hosting with their site audit, and that saves them money. But that's also a slightly longer project too due to the need to coordinate the processes. So if you're on my waiting list, I appreciate your patience, and we're working as fast and as hard as we can to get projects completed. Now, if you have an open project, keep in mind that time is of the utmost essence, and we all appreciate you moving your parts of the project along as quickly as possible. Now, are you ready to add site audits to your business? My webmaster training course teaches you all about site security and performance. It's a must for designers that set up sites for clients, as they need to be set up securely right from the get-go. And site owners are waking up to the fact that speed is crazy important now. So there's even more demand for those services. You'll learn how to see what theme elements and plugins drag down your site speed, and it will definitely improve your design business. Plus, if you want to go deeper and learn to offer site audits like I do, it's all there in the performance training. You can be overloaded with work as I am if you will commit to the training. I booked $8,000 worth of site work in 6 hours during my Super Summer Sales event in July. This training more than pays for itself. All right, y'all, that's all the news from around here. Let's dive into this week's tips. In WordPress tips, the first release candidate for WordPress 5.5 rolled out last week. Now, a release candidate means that they have frozen adding anything new to the version and are now solely working on the remaining bug fixes. I expect RC2 to roll out this week, and the final release to the public is expected August 11th. And now that we have hit the release candidate, I feel a lot more confident digging deeper into documenting all of the changes for both WordPress itself and Gutenberg. Now, I already have a running list of them, but now I'm gathering deeper details, and I'll have a What's New in WordPress 5.5 post and video for you just prior to the release. And hey, you know that site health check feature in WordPress? It's now telling folks that they have a critical security issue if they're not using PHP 7.4. That's not true. You have a critical security issue if you're using anything below the 7.2 version. And I sure as heck wish they would change that notifications wording to reflect that fact. The current PHP version you need to be at on your hosting is 7.3. We're not quite ready to go up to 7.4, as some plugins and themes have not been tested for compatibility. Now, if you're already there and things are working, stay there. And the rest of us will be moving up to it by the end of the year or early next. Keep watching Tips Tuesday for when to make that move. And you can see the tutorial if you want to of how to check and change your PHP version. Now, I've got the link for you in the show notes. It shows how to do it on cPanel. Now, if your host has a different control panel, see their support documents for help or ask them to do it for you. In Gutenberg tips. Now, just after the WordPress 5.5 release, I'll start actually recording all of the new Gutenberg tutorials for my Gutenberg Ninja course. And this week, I'm continuing to draw up the scripts and info for the other sections like Start Here, Specialty Block, Suite Plugins, Genesis section, and Astra section. And I hope to be rolling all of those out in bulk in sections this week. Now, for those in the course, look for an email with details on what has changed. In GDPR tips, I received an email from Google yesterday stating that they were making a few changes to their GDPR policy due to a recent ruling by the Court of Justice of the European Union regarding data transfers. Now, if you see any update from your ad network about this, please let me know, as I'd like to see a synopsis of those changes. Now, in the past few Tips Tuesdays, you've heard me talking more about the changes coming to Chrome, halting the tracking of third-party cookie data, and how some ad agencies, and even Google, want you to switch over to first-party cookie tracking. Now, I've been in touch with one GDPR lawyer about this, and I'm still doing a bit more investigation as to what this will mean to the future of online ads everywhere. Plus, if there's any extra liability to the site owner for allowing the share of data from their first-party cookies. Now, I'll keep you posted when I have more info to share. And if you see any info about this, please send me the link, as most ad agencies are being pretty tight-lipped about what actions they're taking, so it's hard to find anything other than vague info about this. In SEO tips, Bing Webmaster Tools is gaining more ground on Google Search Console with the new URL inspection tool they just released. And I have to tell you, the more I work with Bing Webmaster Tools as I create new tutorials for it in the DIY SEO course, the more I like it better than Search Console. It's just easier to read and work with. And I'm seeing more and more clients getting traffic from Bing too. So it's definitely worth us paying more attention to. And that's why I'm making a new tutorial section for it in the course. Hey, did you see this? Team Yoast released a very interesting post this past week asking whether you should optimize your content for questions. The short answer is yes, definitely. But the full answer is a lot deeper than that. Now, in the article, they give you screenshots of all the ways optimizing for questions can get you on the front page of Google. I teach this in my DIY SEO course, too. In fact, I teach you all of the ways to format your content to get it into all of the various sections of page one in search. However, this tactic with questions can backfire. Complaints are getting louder from pro SEOs that Google is becoming far less interested in the fair trade agreement they've long had with content creators. We create authoritative, easy-to-read content that Google shows to folks looking to solve a problem. It was a good symbiotic relationship for years. Google delivered appropriate results of the best content on the web, and we got the clicks for making it. But over the last 2 years, Google has become far less interested in sending anyone off Google. If they can present the answer right there, they feel that is more beneficial to the person searching for that answer. And we, the content creator that gave Google that authoritative answer, no longer get as many clicks. That's not fair. We have now become unpaid content creators for Google. And they are making record profits off of it because they get to show ads to those searchers. In fact, ads are all you see above the fold on mobile now. You have to go to pages 2 to 4 of SERPs, or search engine results pages, to get any link from a blogger if they didn't show up in one of those first page sections. Now, over the last 2 years, I've seen more and more pro SEOs give up doing SEO for clients over this, because all a client will accept as a good result is having a clickable link prominently on page one of Google search. And that's insanely hard to do, as there are very few organic link clicks outside of those special sections on page one now. Now, as Joe said, and as I teach, you may get a click from showing up in those special places more than you have a chance of a searcher scrolling down to where your blog post link appears. So, learn how to play the game. And let's talk about the future of affiliate marketing while we're at it. So, these SEOs have turned to doing review sites and such, and they're making a killing, way beyond what our personal endorsements of products on our blogs could ever achieve. Yet we are putting our personal reputations on the line for them. Amazon could care less which site the product click comes from. They're perfectly happy to make sales from those bogus review sites from folks who have never even used any of the products listed. And I have to wonder if this sharp rise in sites that are insanely optimized by folks who know how to play the SEO game aren't part of the reason why Amazon cut their commission rates. It hurt every affiliate. But consider the percentages. I heard one of those pro SEO folks complain that he lost $20,000 a month over the cuts. When was the last time you even made $20,000 a month off Amazon sales? Right. I hope this gives you a better idea of what you're up against if you're blogging for affiliate link dollars. And I hope you look at the hamster wheel you're on with content creation and driving traffic to your site to make what little you do from Amazon links or any other affiliate link. There may be a better way to spend your time. Just give it some thought. In marketing tips, you could spend a lot of time and money learning to write great titles, and it would be worth every penny. Think about the title for your post or the first sentence in your social media description. You're not writing a grammatically correct sentence. What you're writing is a title to gain attention and get a click. And your title is sitting in a sea of titles on Google search and on social media feeds. Okay, just try this. Sensationalize the title past your comfort zone and see what happens. When all that extra traffic hits your site and you make more money, you won't care anymore if it sounded clickbaity. And then go read this post I've got for you from the nice folks at Blogging Wizard that covers what to do and what not to do with writing better headlines that get clicks. In image tips, if you use images from Unsplash, you will definitely want to read this post on WP Tavern about changes to their license agreement. Now, that's especially true if you're using their plugin that was released just 2 weeks ago to pull in their images directly to your WordPress site. That plugin may get pulled from the repository soon. And expect that some themes that use images from Unsplash for their demo content to get popped because of this too. All right, y'all, that's a wrap for this week's Tips Tuesday. Give me some love. Share this post with all your blogger buddies to support the free and helpful info you get on BlogAid and to help your buddies. And be sure to visit BlogAid.net for more tips and resources. And I'll see you online.